It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPod this morning, and our guest for today is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Sounds like we're fixing to have a wrestling match or something. I'm waiting for the bell. Ding, 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 come on out.
It's a good thing I don't have one.
There you go. You'd be ringing it up. We're going to come in here and give the devil a whooping today. Yeah. Open the word.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended, considering we have no technical difficulties. And today our sponsor is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all. Mm-hmm. Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Father, we're thankful. We're thankful to you for your love. Your never-ending love, your covenant of love, as you called it. Father, we're thankful that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, who gave himself. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving yourself for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to take upon yourself our sins and release to us your righteousness. And thank you for sending Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for guiding us into all truth, giving us ears to hear and hearts to receive and a mind of wisdom. I praise you and thank you, Lord God, that you give us the opportunity to pray and receive answers as we pray. Father, we know that you're aware of every need and every circumstance, everything in every person's life. You still told us to pray, and Father, that's part of what we're here for today. We're here to open your word, and we're here to call on your name and invite your presence, Lord Jesus. I pray for our listeners, Lord. I know that someone today just needed a word. They said, I'm just going to take the time to listen today and see what God has for me. And I pray, Lord, your blessing upon this entire program. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I like your title.
Yeah.
God's Fragrance.
God's Fragrance. That is our title in it. I told them we don't want to call it, don't be a stinker, because they'd think I was picking on you or something. Or
I know.
You're picking on me or something. But, I get that fragrance part from a scripture we're about to read, and I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it, open it up to 2 Corinthians. Bible studies are a whole lot better when you put your eyes on the Word. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin verse 12, but the real focus here on this first part is going to be in verse 14, 15, but I like to read the Bible in context. You can take the Bible. There are a lot of things in the Bible, man. You just take one verse, take it out of context, and you won't get the correct meaning of what it's really talking about. So I like to read the Bible in context. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. The Apostle Paul was writing, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me there, but I still had no peace of mind. Now I want to stop just for a second before we read on. He went there and he found circumstances that everything looked favorable. In other words, it all looks good, but for Paul, something just didn't set right. He said, I found that the Lord had opened a door for ministry there for me to preach a gospel, but I still found no peace of mind. The Bible tells us to follow after peace, or a great translation of that is, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Paul said, I found the door open for me, but I had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. It's a good place for us to say, sometimes my plans have to change. I got a news flash for myself and y'all too. It ain't Wednesday.
Come on.
Okay, I told Monica before, I said, man, this will mess my whole week up. I won't know, because I almost always come on the first and third Wednesdays of every month, and I've been doing it for about 11 years, something like that. I mean, I did it back when we were down in the basement of KECO in the padded cell. They always put Neva and Misty Music down there in that padded room with carpet on the walls. I said, yeah, y'all belong here. So. But we've been doing this a long time, and, you know, things changed. At one time when we would come together for the Hour of Power, we didn't have anything going out on the internet, nothing at all. And then it was just live radio on 94.3, The Rock Christian Music, and I love that, by the way. Always ran around. I'd come around and go to the grocery store or whatever after I got done, and never failed that I would run into someone who had been listening. And we enjoyed that, and that was a great season. That's where the Hour of Power started. Then later on, they moved us out of that little padded room and moved us into a different room, which I had to help build and put some walls around it. And then we were live radio and internet, which I thought, that's pretty cool. And then it went to internet only. And so things change. Things change. And even now, you notice probably you don't see quite as much of Neva Pied in here as you used to see. Things change. Opportunities sometimes change. Situations change. But here's the point. Paul, in real simple, he goes, you know, I went to Troas, and I found out that God had given me a great opportunity to preach the gospel there. But he said, but I didn't have any peace in my heart because I couldn't find my brother Titus there. In other words, he expected Titus to be there, and he wasn't. And Paul was going to do this ministry, but he felt in his heart that he needed Titus to be part of it. So what did he do? Even though there was a great opportunity for ministry there, Paul left. And when he left, here's what he says in verse 14. Verse 13, he left and went to Macedonia. Now watch, verse 14, he goes, but thanks be to God. He always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So the point that I want to make is this. Paul's plans had to change. He expected it to go one way, but it didn't. But what he realized was this, whether he intended to go west today and God turned him around and he went east, he still found that no matter where he went, no matter what was going on, everywhere he was going, he was spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. He was anointed. Maybe you've had some, I got some anointing oil in my pocket. If I could dig it out, well, you can get the picture. You know, and almost all the anointing oil I've ever seen is scented. And some of them smell one way and another, but they all have a scent, a fragrance. And when you're used to certain anointing oil, that oil, someone could open that, and you wouldn't even see them open it, but you catch a whiff of it and a fragrance, and you go, I smell that anointing oil, right? It smells really, the kind I have smells really, really good. Paul is saying in the spirit realm, now he's not talking about spreading a physical fragrance that you can smell with your nose. But in the spiritual realm, everywhere we go, we're carrying Christ. We're carrying the fragrance of life himself. And so we're spreading this fragrance. And what is this fragrance exactly? He says this. He spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him, or the knowledge of God. I want to read this to you in a Passion translation because it's passionate. It says this, God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners in endless triumph. Now listen, through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. Through our yielded lives. Let me ask you something today. Are you yielded? If you have your plans, they say, I'm going west today, and those plans change, are you yielded enough that if you have to go east when you thought you were going to go west, that you will go east still carrying the fragrance of Christ instead of the fragrance of frustration? Ooh, that got strong, didn't it? When things don't go my way, do I get upset? When things don't go my way, do I still continue to carry the attitude and the fragrance of Christ wherever I go? You know, God's called us to that. He's called us to that. And we can either be anointed or we can be stinkers. I've been both. You probably have too. But what are we spreading in this fragrance? We're spreading, according to this word, the knowledge of God. And when I say knowledge, it's knowledge of God, not knowledge about God. I think it's important that we train ourselves in the Word, that we become educated Christians, educated especially in the Word of God. But a Christian education will never replace inspiration. Inspiration, the word inspired means literally God breathed. That's why the Bible says it's the inspired Word of God. He breathed it himself. So we need the anointing. We need inspiration along with education. But education doesn't change lives until inspiration first changes lives. Well, so we're spreading knowledge of God, not knowledge about God. See, what's the difference? I'm spreading knowledge of knowing God personally. What do you think the devil's most afraid of? Do you think he's really afraid of religion? I doubt it. As a matter of fact, I think he promotes religion. Because if you get religious, but you don't have a relationship with God, most religious people aren't really looking for something else. They just do what they do religiously. And it kind of satisfies this, or they feel like I'm filling this space in my life. I mean, you ask some people, I've asked a lot of people this, are you a Christian? And they say, well, I'll go to church at such and such. And I'm like, that's not what I ask you. I'm glad you go to church at such and such, but are you a Christian? And I have asked people that, and they literally look at me like, huh? Because, listen, our activities, whether it's going to church or reading the Bible or praying, whatever it is, that's not relationship. Those hopefully spring forth out of our relationship with God, but it's relationship that matters. If, let's say that you were near and dear to someone who loved, they got a big old smoker and they like to smoke brisket and ribs, I'll make us hungry. And they've been doing that. They've been out there, and, man, they've been tending the smoker, and they've been standing there, you know. What are they going to smell like? Well, they're going to smell like the smoke off the smoker. They're going to smell like, if they've been doing brisket and ribs and all, they're going to smell good. You get up close to them, you're going to get hungry, right? Because they have a fragrance that promotes appetite. Did you get that? They have a fragrance that promotes an appetite. What is it that God wants us to be like? He wants us carrying a fragrance of his anointing, his presence, so much so that everywhere we go, even if we go into a secular type setting or we go into a place where people, it's not church. You know, it's just, we're just at this restaurant. We're just eating out. Well, everywhere you go, you ought to carry enough of the fragrance of Christ that if you're there very long, somebody going to start talking about Jesus. And it doesn't have to be you that instigates it. It's just, it's a natural flow, because it's like this. If I had been smoking brisket and ribs and all that in a smoker, and I walked in here this morning, and these girls standing in here, they'd be like, man, do you smell like you've been close to smoking? I said, oh, yeah, I've been cooking some ribs. Who brought it up? They did, because they sensed it. They sensed it with their physical nose. But see, when you're carrying the anointing, people can sense that. Even people, I'll tell you this, especially people who in a drug culture, well, they're sensitive to spiritual things, not necessarily always good spiritual things, but they're very sensitive to the spiritual realm. So when you're anointed and you go around and say, man, I'd like to help people. I'd like to reach some people. Or just get so anointed with Jesus that everywhere you go, people can sense. The scripture calls it fragrance, but they sense this presence of Jesus on you. If I'd been next to the smoker and I come in here, I would smell like the smoker. They would smell it. But what would happen is, what if you rub up against someone who smells like a smoker and you give them a big old hug and you rub up against them? Do you know what the word anoint means? It means rub against. Look it up. That's what it means. To be anointed means to be rubbed against. So to be anointed means I've spent time and I'm rubbing up against the Lord. Well, I'm going to smell like the Lord. If I'd been smoking meat and you rubbed up against me and you rubbed up against me enough, you're going to smell like it too. Even though you weren't there, you're carrying the fragrance from someone else. I just recently got the privilege of going to see a movie called Super Spreader. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's about Sean Foyt and the Worship Now ministry that arose during the COVID in California. It was in theaters last weekend, Oklahoma City. I don't know if it's still on or not, but it'll probably be out where you can get to it at online and whatever and stream it too. But it's called Super Spreader, and it's really about how all that whole Worship Now ministry came about. If you're not familiar with Sean Foyt, his name is spelled a little differently. It doesn't look like Foyt. It's pronounced Foyt. I don't remember exactly. F-E-I-G-H-T, something like that, but you'll get it. It's Worship Now. And that ministry, here's how that ministry really got started. Sean felt led of the Lord when he was a California resident. He is a California resident, but when Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, made a decree, a mandate from that you cannot sing in church because of COVID, they deemed, you know, tattoo parlors, liquor stores, strip clubs, they're essential. They're staying open. But churches, and then when they did let churches come back together, they said, okay, you can be together, but you can't sing. You got a social distance. You got a building hold 10,000 people. You can only have 2,500 in there. You can't sing. That's called communism. That's not America. But they did that, and that really inspired Sean to just, I got to do something. So what he did was he prayerfully made a decision, I'm going to run for the California State Senate because they need some Jesus people up there in that Senate. That's kind of where his thinking was. And he prayed, and he didn't do it without prayer. He prayed. He put together a campaign team. He got some people who had been run winning campaigns in the past. Everything about his campaign looked like, hey, we're going to celebrate. And on the night of the election, I mean, he was leading in the polls going in. And on the night of election, it just gets like he's just getting further and further and further and further behind until it finally came to the point where he had to realize, like, hey, this ain't happening. He was up in Sacramento having a big watch party, you know, ready to celebrate, and we're going to carry some Jesus fragrance up into that Senate house here in California in Sacramento. We're going to really make some, you know, we're going to be a voice for the Lord right there. You know, God wants to use his people. And his balloon just went, and, you know, he got deflated completely. It was a pretty good drive back to where he lived. And all the way back, he and his wife in the pickup truck they were driving in, he said, they didn't even speak a single word. They were just completely dejected, totally dejected. I got back, and it's like he had to go spend some time with the Lord. He's like, I don't understand this. I mean, I didn't just decide to run for Senate. But when he was running for Senate, it caused him to realize how much stuff was going on, how much corruption had infiltrated, and how important it was. And he thought God wanted him to go up there to Sacramento and make a difference. In other words, he arrived in Sacramento. I'm going to say it this way. He arrived in Sacramento and saw that there was a great opportunity for ministry. But he wasn't allowed to do that ministry. That door closed. He went back home and began to seek the Lord, and the Lord just put it in his heart. Says, you know what? Go out. He lived close to San Francisco. He said, go out on the Golden Gate Bridge and just go sing and worship. See, that was forbidden in California at the time during COVID. You cannot assemble together and sing. That's against our mandate. He said, well, the Lord, I'm going to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. you can do whatever you think you got to do, but I know what I got to do. I got to obey God. So he went out. He just got on Instagram. He got on his social media in a few places, posted on such-such day, such-such time. If you'd like to join me, we're going to worship on the Golden Gate Bridge, and we're going to call heaven down. We're going to intercede for our state. We're going to intercede for our nation. And he went out there. Man, hundreds of people showed up. They got on one end of the bridge, one group on one end of the bridge, and began marching toward the middle. Another group on the other end of the bridge began marching in the middle. They met in the middle and began to worship and praise God. Now, they weren't blocking traffic. They were on the pedestrian part. And the only thing illegal they were doing was singing. Crazy, huh? But, man, here's this whole group of Jesus people, you know, just singing and worshiping and caring, and here come the police. And the police pulled up, and you think, oh, no, man, what's going to go down here? You know what happened? The police officer pulled up. Police officer got out, a ranking police officer, I don't remember, lieutenant or something, comes up there, comes up to Sean Foyt. He says, we've been waiting for you to show up. We've been waiting for you people to come. And this, it turns out this police officer is a born-again Christian. And he said, we have had so many suicides on this bridge. I mean, more than any other place in California. It's like, and it's just been a hotbed for suicides. And he said, oh, I've just been waiting for God to commission someone to come and take authority over these demonic spirits that are leading people to such desperation that they come to this very point you are in the middle of this bridge and jump off and take their life because they seem to have no hope. He goes, we've just been waiting for somebody to come and bring Jesus. No, they didn't get arrested. No, they didn't get disbanded. Those police officers pulled up there and sat there, and traffic went around. They made sure everything was safe, and, man, they just worshiped. And then God inspired Sean, said, you know what, let's take it to the Capitol itself. Let's get a permit. Let's go out on the Capitol lawn. Let's do an outdoor venue where God's people can come and worship openly. And man, and they went through all the legal hoops. They got their permits, and they assembled, and I think the government thought, nobody's going to come. Thousands of people began to show up. You know, it just began to grow and grow and grow, and then they took it all over. The whole terrible tragedy with George Floyd when he was killed in Minnesota. Sean's like, Lord's telling me we need to go there. They're like, oh, no, you don't need to go here. We got problems. You know, he goes, no, the Lord's telling me we need to go here. And it was so intense in Minnesota at that time with the riots and all the stuff going on and BLM out there and Antifa and all that stuff that the police and the mayor, literally, they're like, Sean, we can't protect you. Don't come. But there were Christians in Minnesota. You've got to come. We've been praying. We've got to come. They went down there and they began to they didn't set up some big venue. They just began to sing and minister right there on the street corner where that tragic event happened. And the Spirit of God was poured out, and people from every race, every color, every denomination just began to come together. And people were giving their lives to the Lord, and they said, well, we want to be baptized. And so, oh, man, we got to find somebody. He goes, well, I know where there's a tank. And for the first time in their worship gatherings, they began to baptize people. Mm-hmm. So what God took a tragedy and turned it into triumph because someone was willing to come there and spread the fragrance of Jesus. So that movie, Super Spreader, is definitely worth a watch. But what does that have to do with you and I? So I'm not Sean Foyt. Listen, Sean Foyt, on the day that he started that, where the Lord led him to start the worship, what became the Worship Now movement, understand this. And my wife Sharon said this almost prophetically about 2 weeks before we went to see this movie. We were just talking about Sean Foyt a little bit. And we've loved the ministry that he has done and the stand that he's taken. And we hadn't seen anything on him in a little bit, and we were just talking. And she goes, you realize if Sean Foyt would have got elected to Senate, all that Worship Now stuff would have never happened. Because he couldn't possibly be a senator and be busy with the stuff of the Senate in Pasadena, in Sacramento, and then be out doing all those other things. See, God was using what Sean thought was going to be his ministry just to draw him into a position where he would be willing to hear him say, Go sing on the Golden Gate Bridge. Go take this to the Capitol. Go take this to Minnesota. Go take this here. Go take this there. And he went to all the hot spots. But God had trained him. Sean been in 17 countries around the world. He had led worship in Kuwait, Iraq, Iran. I mean, some places where it's like, what? You'll get killed going over there preaching Jesus. But he grew up in that kind of a place. He grew up in that kind of a bold culture of faith. But what I want to get at is this for us today. Maybe you feel like I've got to do this to serve Jesus. Well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. Say, well, this is my ministry. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Be willing to let God make changes and lead you where he wants to go. But here's the one thing you got to do. You got to stay yielded. If Sean had got bitter because he did not get elected to the Senate when he prayerfully sought and did everything in his power to do it, if he didn't stay yielded, worship now would have never happened. It would have never happened. And so how important is it that you and I stay yielded through the ups and through the downs, through the lefts and through the rights? We've got to stay yielded to Jesus. And if I want to spread the fragrance of Jesus wherever I go, I've got to continually keep being rubbing up against Jesus. Now, listen, you might have the most wonderful pastor in the world like Monica does. Ha ha. You might have a wonderful men and women of God in your life, but they cannot anoint you. They can anoint you with oil and pray over you if you're sick and need healing, but they cannot make you anointed. Only Jesus can make you anointed. Only Holy Spirit carries anointing, and we've got to acknowledge Jesus in all that we do, not just on a Sunday and not just on Sunday once in a while, and not even on Sunday and Wednesday. We've got to live connected to Jesus. In order to be anointed, I've got to be rubbing up against him, continually rubbing up against him, and letting his anointing be the fragrance that I carry. I ask our church, Monica probably remember this, how do you change a nation or a state or a city or even just a group of people or a family? How do you change? How do you bring change? And the answer is, you bring change one person at a time. Even a multitude of people. What are nations made out of? People. Ultimately, the United States is not an entity of itself. The United States only exists because there are a whole bunch of individual people who are citizens. Nations are made of people. So how do we change our nation? One person at a time. You know, you may not be called, you may not be Billy Graham. I'm not Billy Graham, but I one person I can carry the anointing, the fragrance of Jesus everywhere I go, and I can rub up against individual people in contacting them. I don't have to physically rub up against them. I'm talking about just I'm having contact with people, and in my contact with people, whether I'm going to Walmart or I'm getting gasoline or this, that, whatever I'm doing, if I stay yielded, that's the key. If I stay surrendered to Jesus and I'm connected with him, then wherever I go, whether I say anything or don't say anything, he's going to be there. Jesus is there. And more often than not, if I'll be just somewhat willing, the Lord will give me opportunities left, right, and every which way to talk about him, to honor God. You know, when you pull up to the gas pump and somebody pulls up there, you know, maybe you heard OPEC's going to cut production by 2 million barrels a day to drive the price of gas back up. You know what? So what? God supplies all my needs according to his glorious riches. You could charge $10 a gallon. God can supernaturally make my car get better gas mileage. He can increase my income if that's what he needs to do. Come on, he can give me wisdom of where to go and when to go. Maybe I'm going more than I need to anyway. I don't know. But see, God's going to take care of it. That's just the bottom line. God's going to meet my needs. Why is he? Why do you say that? Because he's God. I don't want them to bring gas prices up. I know it creates a tremendous hardship on a lot of people. But you pull up to the gas pump and all of a sudden gas prices are going back up again. I guarantee you, somebody's going to say something about it. Oh, stinking gas prices. And they're going to point their finger and blame it. People and different people. Maybe they're in the White House. I don't know. But, you know, in all honesty, all that is an opportunity for us to trust the Lord. And when I'm at the gas pump and I'm filling up and somebody next to me goes, dadgum gas prices, that stinking guy. I said, well, you know what? They can't curse me more than God can bless me. You know, God's still taking care of his people. I guarantee you this. You could say, you know what? God's still taking care of his people. And that person over there may not have been to church in 25 years. But if you shine that kind of a positive attitude out of a true place of faith, knowing that God is going to take care of you, I guarantee you this. That person may not have been to church in 100 years, but they're going to go, yep, they're going to agree with you. Most likely, they are going to agree with you. There's a 90% chance they're going to agree with you. If they don't agree with you, they go, what, you stupid Christian, whatever. Even if they railed on you like that, it's all good because you spread the fragrance of Christ. Now, watch the scripture we were reading, and then we'll go to break. So you need to make sure you get your prayer requests in. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. That means we win in Christ, and he spreads through us everywhere we go the fragrance of the knowledge of him or the knowledge of God. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. So in other words, to those who are appointed and ready for salvation, they're like, oh, you smell like our sweet Savior. Watch this, though. It says, and to those who are perishing. So we still smell like Jesus, regardless of whether the person's ready or not ready to be surrendered to Jesus. We still smell like Jesus. Now watch what happens, though. To one, we are the smell of death. Ooh. To the other, we're the fragrance of life. The response is up to them. Listen, I heard a quote from one of our founding fathers in this nation. And when they were trying to form our nation, you know, and he was in particular talking about voting, which we have an opportunity to do next month. And he said this. Here's what he said. The duty is mine. The results belong to God. It's my duty as a Christian person, saved by Jesus Christ, to carry the fragrance of Jesus. The response or the responsibility of how people respond to that, that's not up to me. If they go off on you, I'm going to tell you this. I've been pretty bold for the Lord for quite a long time, rarely ever, maybe twice in almost 30 years. About twice do I remember someone when I mentioned the Lord, did they rear up? And so what do you think I did when they reared up? I just stood my ground. That's all. I didn't get ugly with them. I didn't get in the flesh. I'll tell you more about it when we come back after our break and we take prayer requests. But I'm going to say this to you on the break. God knows our hearts, and he is God. He's the only God. And when you stand up for him, he stands up for you. We should be bold and courageous as we carry the fragrance of Christ. People need to know Jesus. And those who know Jesus, even Christians, we can become discouraged. And we need someone to come around carrying that light that can just walk into wherever we are. Maybe we're downcast. Maybe we're overwhelmed by things coming at us. And we just need someone that can come in here and just bring that spark of life. That's you, friends. That's me. We can do this. We can spread the fragrance. The word says so. Amen. Amen.